Hopefully it's all, is it? There we go. Hopefully it's all on. Can you hear me coming through? Excellent.
Yeah.
Okay. So I don't know who has been here for the last 2 weeks and heard the last two sermons we've had on what was said to us previously as a church about how we should be more than where we should meet. Because there were no specifics about thou shalt meet in this building at this location, at this postcode, these geographical pinpoint location, and if you don't meet there, I shall smite thee. I correct me if I'm wrong, John, that's not what was said. Okay. So we had Lou's sermon on about enlarging our hearts, enlarging our home. So all around Isaiah 52, 4, I want to say 52 every time, but it is 54. About spreading wide the flaps of your tent, making more room, adding extensions on for those that aren't yet here. And then John last week spoke about breaking down the walls, a church without walls. Now, I was due actually to speak last week, and I kind of had something else in mind to speak on, and then I knew that I was following Lou and John, and it felt kind of wrong just to kind of launch into something else that was long, life together for the sake of fitting into a theme of life together. So though it does fit into that, my sermon this morning probably continues on from where Lou and John left off, because I think just kind of have a break, and it's kind of just weird. It doesn't work for me. So hopefully I'm going to deliver what God has said for me to give this morning, and it will make sense, and it will encourage, and it will build.
Yeah.
I said to Sarah on the way here this morning, I was really unsure about whether what I had was right. At the moment, I've not had a no, so I'm going to go for it. Okay, so let's just pray before I say any more. Father God, just really open our eyes and ears and hearts to receive what it is you're saying to us collectively. May we all be on the same page. May we just get it together. Where we disagree on stuff, we can move beyond that, because you're far much more powerful, far greater, far more worth anything than anything else in the world. Just be with us now. Speak to us by your Spirit. Amen. So as you can tell by my title, this morning I want to talk about faith. Now, it's something that I thought I should speak about even before John spoke last week, but then when John was speaking last week, it kind of really solidified why I should speak about faith. And over the last week, I've just had the words, by faith, keep coming back over and over and over again. Now, there is a passage in the Bible, I am going to be using it, okay? I can't not talk about faith without talking about Hebrews 11. Now, I know Hebrews 11, verse 6 very, very well, because Keith, when I was in Sunday school, it wasn't his church back then, when me and Rachel were little, he taught us a song about Hebrews 11, verse 6, which is, without faith, it's impossible to please God. But I want to look at the whole of Hebrews 11, okay? So we're going to read all 40 verses, okay? So buckle up. We're in for a long old reading. But I just wanted to grasp really what this whole passage is saying as well. It's those words, by faith. Now hopefully it's large enough for you to see on that screen. It is far too small for me to read it on that screen because I'm getting older and my eyesight is failing. I know. I'm due for an eye test soon, so you need to get some strong glasses. So we start in Hebrews 11, verse 1. It says, now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. By faith, Abel brought God a better offering than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as righteous when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith, Abel still speaks, even though he is dead. By faith, Enoch was taken from his life, from this life, so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear, built an ark to save his family. By faith, he commanded the world, sorry, condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that is in keeping with faith. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. And by faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children because she considered him faithful who had made the promise. I'm hoping I don't have any more children before I claim that promise for myself this morning. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky, and as countless as the sand on the seashore. All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised, they only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, admitting that they were foreigners and strangers on earth. People who say such things show they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of a country they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had embraced the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, "It is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned." Abraham reasoned that God could even raise the dead, and so in a manner of speaking, he did receive Isaac back from death. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau in regard to their future. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of Joseph's sons and worshipped as he leaned on the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when his end was near, spoke about the exodus of the Israelites from Egypt and gave instructions concerning the burial of his bones. By faith, I was kind of hoping you'd be joining in by now, you know, woo, we know this one. By faith, Moses' parents hid him from the 3 months after he was born, because they saw he was no ordinary child and that they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be ill-treated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover and the application of blood, so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea on dry land, but when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after the army had marched around them for 7 days. By faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. And what more shall I say? And if that's not enough already, right, we got some more. I don't have time to tell you about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah. Thank you, Pat. I'm just glad I'm not reading from Chronicles, otherwise we... Oof. About David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice and gained what was promised, who shut the mouth of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Women received their dead, raised to life again. There were others who were tortured, refusing to be released so that they might gain an even better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging, even chains and imprisonment. They were put to death by stoning. They were sawn in two. They were killed by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and ill-treated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains, living in caves and in holes in the ground. These were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised, since God had planned something better for us, so that only with us would they be made perfect. Sounds like us, doesn't it? Sounds like us this Sunday morning, right? Yeah? Closed mouths of lions, received our dead back. Sawn in two. Thanks, Pat. That's... I wasn't sure whether to put those bits in there, so I thought, yeah, everyone's going to be like, yeah, by faith, woo, they did these many things, and then I'm going to be sorted into two. But it's this by faith thing, living by faith. Now, everybody, regardless of who you are, has faith in something or someone. Okay? So the dictionary defines faith as this: Complete trust or confidence in someone or something. Now that sounds remarkably like Hebrews 1:11 to me, in a general description of what faith is. So, if you are a football fan, you have faith that your football team will win this season. John has faith that Chelsea will dominate come August. See? Faith. You might have faith in your spouse, or in your friends, or in your employment, that you will always be employed in that job. It's no longer really the case now. Employment kind of changes a lot more. But everybody has faith in something. So faith is not a rare thing to be hearing about. It might be called something like a belief, or my personal truth. Okay? Whatever language society now puts on it. But actually, what I'm talking about this morning is a faith in something that is far better than just a wishy-washy, I hope this happens. Because it's not about necessarily the size of your faith, but the size of the person your faith is in. Okay? So in Matthew, in the book of Matthew, it says this. If I've done my verse in the right order, I have. Truly, I tell you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. Now, when Jesus said these words, he wasn't saying it's some sort of nice little twee saying, a nice little mantra to live your life by, a nice little positive thinking fridge magnet, or something you stick above your computer screen at work, going, oh yeah, I feel totally empowered today to live my life. Completely different. He's saying, if your faith is in me, doesn't matter how small that faith is, if it is in me, you can ask this mountain to move and it will move from here to there. The difference is, he might ask you to pick up a shovel and start some of the work. And why is this important when we're thinking about where we go as a church together? Because it's only going to happen by faith. We might have sat through these sermons and go, oh, these are really good words, and then got home and the reality dawned on us that, how is this going to happen? There's not as many of us as there used to be. And this morning there's quite a lot of people away, so it's a really good example of maybe it feels like, who is there that I can turn to and we can do this together? I don't feel that there are the same people here. Well, the answer is we're going to do it by faith. It may seem like an immovable mountain. It might seem like a huge obstacle in our way to say, meeting outside of this building on a Sunday morning, that's really difficult, that's really hard. Well, that's only a very small part of what God is asking us to do. It's a much bigger thing to be in our community, day in, day out, showing them who Jesus is, our faith showing them what it means to trust him and follow him. Because if our faith is in other things, if it's in the bank balance, our decisions of whether we do and don't do things, that's what will affect it, the bank balance, if that's where our faith is. If you go, we haven't got enough money quite to do this, well, what if God is still asking us to do it if the bank balance disagrees? Or if we disagree with each other? What if some of us say yes and some of us say no? We can do that, but we can still go, but in faith, actually, we trust that God has got the right way for this. The only way we're going to move beyond where we are is by faith. We're not going to do it by trying harder, working harder at things. It's faith that leads to action. It's both and, it's not either or. Sometimes it's kind of like we're all about kind of Holy Spirit movement, the shaky, wailing, clucking like chickens, or it's let's just do stuff, let's just do. There's got to be a balance. In James it says this, but someone will say, you have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by my deeds. So the stuff that we will end up doing, the people we end up connecting with, the relationships that we will build, the different clubs and groups and places of work that we will affect by our faith through our deeds, this is how it will work. Thank you. I don't think I should deliver the rest of what I prepared. I feel I've kind of gone off track a little bit, maybe waffled a little bit, maybe not been as clear as I could have been. But I don't know, maybe I've not grasped quite what it means to have faith enough to believe it could happen, because I've turned up on Sundays, I've sat at home thinking about church and thought, how is this going to happen? How on earth is this going to happen? And I've been guilty of not coming to church with enough faith. I say to church, forget Sunday mornings, to be church together. I've looked around and I've let circumstances dictate my faith in Jesus and what he is possible of doing. If my faith is in him, everything is possible. If he says, move that mountain, that's when it's possible, because my faith is in him and I will do it. I pick up that shovel, I start working, I start digging it in. I start the hard graft and the hard work. I get the blisters on my hands and my feet because it's so worth it, because my faith is in him. But I have let circumstances and emotions and feelings and hurt and all the other rubbish that comes in and destroys faith to just do that in circumstances. And I haven't lost my faith, but maybe I've put faith somewhere else. Maybe it's been in people. And you recognise that as you're going along, but maybe it's been there more than I've realised. But if my faith is totally in Jesus, if I don't let anything else distract from that, if I just pursue him and him only, that's when my actions are in his name and are powerful and I'm doing what he wants me to do. I don't know about you, you might feel like this as well. You might feel completely demoralised about where we're at as a church or where we have been, or think about, oh, wasn't it great 10 years ago? Wasn't it great 5 years ago? Whatever is your idealised view of church, what if God has got even more than that for us? And the only way that's going to happen is by faith. There's no magic formula. It's not like you can say, I've got faith now, bing, bang, boom, it's all going to work out. It's dirty, hard graft. I helped Dave create a silage lock, is that the right? Clamp the other week. That was grubby, dirty, hard work. And I was only there for the last 2 hours. But are you ready for that sort of graft? That sort of digging in deep, giving all you've got type faith? The all or nothing, I'm completely sold out type faith? That's what I'm in for. And I'm going to try and keep it there at that place that it needs to be. But I cannot do this by myself. I want to be there with all of you doing this. In the natural, we look around and we think, well, they can do this and they can do that and they can do the other. But what if God has got other stuff? What if we ended up having no musicians whatsoever? Would church still be church? Would we still be reaching our community? Is it totally possible to do stuff without the human trappings of what we've turned church into? The answer is yes, for those who didn't know. I think I'm going to leave it there. Sorry it's been a bit sporadic, a bit weird. Sorry.
It's partly experience and partly something that was said to me. But what your expression is two words that have to be shared. Faith and obedience. If you have faith and you're not obedient, when you hear the Lord say something and you obey, you take the first step. You don't know where it's leading. And sometimes it leads you into very funny places. But if you take that first step, he'll then show you the next and the next. There'll be times when you think, where on earth am I going? come to a dead end, and where do I go from here? There's no way out. I can't see anywhere. But if you hold fast to just waiting then, till he opens the next door and shows you the way, he will be faithful. But you have to have the two together, the faith that he is faithful, and the obedience to do what he says each step of the way.
Verse 30 about Abigail. So Abigail, this little Abigail, she's watching Joycelyn passing her to Mark. And as she passed through, she just gazed at Mark before she goes through. Gazed at him like that. And so Mark was all her vision. That was all that she could see of her daddy. And I just think sometimes we don't gaze at God like that, do we? Because we've got all the other rubbish going on that we keep getting distracted towards it, so looking at him. And there's a lovely psalm that says, I have filled and quieted my soul like a weaned child. It's almost talking about pulling God's arms and looking at him. I've filled and quieted my soul like a weaned child. Like a weaned child is my soul within me. And it's that, as you were saying, you know, you get distracted in your face, it kind of wavers and it dips into different places. And it's to actually stop and be with him and look at things. So that was just a beautiful illustration. And Abigail was part of the joy of which we are all deep joy. So thank you, Abigail and Mark.
So I'm going to hand back over to John and we'll take some communion together.